Welcome to Goats and Dragons, a Dungeons and Dragons podcast by Helpful Goat Gaming. Please be warned, this podcast contains adult situations and language that may not be suitable for children. In fact, we try our best to be unsuitable for people of all ages. You're welcome.
The world of Banya cracks in anticipation of the approaching storm. Its lands strain against unnatural forces, and warnings of what is to come have been carefully placed among its people. Warnings that led us to a few tieflings, goliaths, drow, and halflings. But how can this unlikely family of broken people stop a force that has been generations in the making? What strength is left in the bonds of friendship?
Friends, we have returned from the place of spells and fairies, our restrooms. And now we are back at you, leaving Gunagaim for the foreseeable future. As everyone in the Bear Hikari situation is under wraps at the moment, everyone wakes up in the morning, packs your stuff, does a few things and starts saying goodbyes to everyone in town. Was there anyone else in town that you wanted to talk to before you left, or are we heading out?
Yeah, I think we're ready to just leave. And maybe we could just fast forward to the temple.
Theoretically, yeah.
I have a potion of swiftness. You can walk 10 extra feet for an hour. I think we can get there really quickly.
Actually, would
be. Wasn't it like 3 days away or something?
You are 2 days, yes. 2 days walk. And it's over pretty rough terrain, so it's you're not taking horses at the moment. At least it's generally, like, you can take them, but you're going to have to leave them again somewhere. So.
What if I summon my minotaur and we ride him? I think that's definitely what he intended this to be used for.
In my limited interactions with him, I would 100% say no.
That also is not what a minotaur. Man, hey. You shouldn't ride minotaurs. They're bipedal and... Yeah, no, he's a gorgon.
Wait, what if a minotaur offered me a piggyback ride?
I mean, I guess that'd be okay, yeah.
All right, yeah. Cool.
So you leave Gunagaim proper. You're heading back up the hill. The horns have been sounded so that the cloud above becomes almost see-through it from this angle. But then as you start to get up into the cloud, into the fog itself, you kind of get that eerie feeling being watched. You start to see kind of shapes dashing in and out of the fog.
Can I pull out my lantern?
Yes.
Just 100% giving them the finger as we're walking.
The lantern of revealing, not just like a regular old dingus lantern.
Sounds good. So as maybe just sort of these dark shapes pass in front of the lantern light itself, you see faces of Goliaths almost looking concerned and then darting away back into the mist.
Oh, these are like your ancestors and stuff.
Mine? Yeah. Yeah. Right? Because we learned all that stuff about Firmidian that I think that's definitely stuff I can't say. I don't know. Fuck. Anyway, yeah, these are my dead ancestors, but they're kind of, like, not dead, right? That's why they're in the fog.
Thank you to the ones of you who grabbed the voice, those of you who grabbed me. Fuck y'all.
And as you're making your way through the cloud, Stormbringer, you hear a voice from the mist around you. Fithy.
Yeah.
Figure kind of dark and cloudy, but you can almost make out your mother's face in it. It stands
okay.
Next to you.
What's up? You were in my brain a little bit ago.
That's weird.
Yeah, it was weird. So it wasn't you?
Pieces of me are with you, always.
In my brain?
In your heart, your brain, your muscles. Sure.
Wow. That sounds dangerous.
I imagine it is. So, I believe I know where you're heading.
Yeah, you were a chief. You can say the things, right? You can say all those words, and I can say them too.
Yes, a bit of an unspoken language you and I have now.
Right, unspoken.
Be careful. This is what you were made for. This kind of thing, to protect those around you. Protect all of us. Break this very, very bad deal that was made.
Yeah. That's the goal.
If you see your father, tell him I'll help him find his way.
Is he not in the cloud with you? I thought he was just, like, I don't know, busy.
He didn't pass here in Gunagaim. I'm not sure where he is.
He didn't get burned?
Not here. No.
Oh, shit.
Jeez.
Fuck. Okay.
So, goodbye. This may be the last time we can talk like this. But again, I'm here.
Yeah, and you're in my brain. Yeah. Talk to me in my brain. Dad does that too. Is he in my brain?
All those that came before you are with you right now.
Okay. I don't really understand, but cool. Yeah, I'll look out for, I guess, like, zombie dad. Shit. Yeah.
I know that you and I never had the most fun or light of relationships, and I just wanted to say, I tried very, very hard to make you into the perfect Goliath.
Yeah, I didn't really appreciate that. That's pretty shitty. Yeah.
I just want to say that I have since delighted most in seeing you be anything but a Goliath. Everything that you've gained outside of Gunagaim, everything that you've learned from your friends is... that's special. And I'm sorry I didn't quite recognize that.
Yeah, thanks. I guess I've grown a lot. And it's nice that you've been somehow able to see me grow even though you were in the cloud, I thought...
I'm tied to this world for the moment, yes. And I, every once in a while, can glimpse those who are close to me. Anyway, good luck. Be careful. Take care of those around you. They'll do the same. Trust in your friends.
I do. Yeah.
That one Clem is very funny. I like... listening to her when she comes to visit. Pass that on, would you?
Sure, yeah, I'll tell her.
Goodbye, Vithi. Stormbringer. Oh, that's funny. There's a Stormbringer right here. And she kind of motions toward the ground up ahead of you a little bit.
Huh?
These flowers that grow sometimes. My mother called them Stormbringers. Because, and she picks it. Seems like there's always a bit of trouble coming when they're around.
Is that a fucking Doom Lily?
And she hands a Doom Lily to you. And now you see up ahead, the path is lined. Lined with Doom Lilies.
I don't want that. Fuck.
Lena, your character all along has been named after a Doom Lily.
Yeah, what does that mean?
So wait, we all see a bunch of Doom Lilies?
Barely through the fog up ahead of you, lining your path as you're leaving. They're the flower that keeps popping up when bad things are happening. They're warnings. They're omens. Lore is a little odd.
They're edible.
Not
evidently.
Not really.
You can technically talk to them.
Incidentally, I think Darce's mic might be physically muted at the moment because I saw their thing lighting up, but I was only hearing them in the background of your audio.
Okay, one second.
Hey, everybody.
Cool.
There was a question in chat earlier. Oh, it was about the family's breakfast preferences.
Hello, hello.
Yep,
hey,
can hear
you.
Yeah. I think Debbie had some really good guesses.
Every family member's favorite breakfast go. Canonically, weird. Stormbringer favors floppy bacon.
Floppy bacon, yep.
And Charity, yes, is bacon, eggs, oatmeal, and a cup of tea. And hopefully not having someone trying to kill him directly at breakfast. That's aspirational, though, honestly. He gets the full breakfast more often than that.
I definitely think Burbage likes, yes, syrup-slathered pancakes, waffles, French toast, all those things.
Now I'm just, like, picturing Burbage doing the man cake emote from Fortnite, just like, pouring syrup over himself.
Nice.
All right. So, Stormbringer, then as you sort of turn to leave again, you feel kind of two arms firmly around you, and then they kind of vanish and disappear into the mist.
Make a grapple check.
Clem, my dead mom thinks you're funny.
But she's laughing at that grapple check line.
And there's a lot of... apparently, Doom Lilies. See all the flowers?
Can you tell your dead mom thanks?
She's gone.
Okay, well, thanks!
Also, my dead dad isn't in the cloud, apparently, so maybe look out for a Goliath zombie that looks like me. More like me than other Goliaths.
When is the last time we saw Doom Lilies?
I don't know, but I can search my notes.
I don't know. Which of the many traumas did they last precede? I mean, it's not like there's a short amount of those in the last 3 weeks.
Right.
Do I know anything about them living in these mountains? Have I seen them before? Or do I know how to... Do I, like, know how to be cool and use them in a meaningful way, or do I just avoid them?
Your teacher literally wrote the freaking book on them.
He did, literally, yeah. Go ahead and, yeah. Give me a history...
Does this count as an alchemical object?
No.
Ugh, fine.
We saw a Doom Lily lost at Izrak's place, but he had one in a case. It wasn't, like, one that was just random.
Did the Bavalian Ravagers tell us about
something? Their house got covered in Doom Lilies.
Okay, so we heard about them there.
Yeah.
13.
Yeah, 13, Clem. You remember that Siren would talk about them, and mostly he talked about how kind of overblown the myths were surrounding them. They were certainly odd things that seemed to bloom nearly instantly when you weren't looking, and seem to kind of be intelligent, he thought. But that's really all you, kind of remember.
I'll tell you that my teacher slash mentor slash asshole, he thought that these were a bit, the fear of these were a bit overblown, so I've never really paid him much mind. But he also thought they were intelligent, which is weird for a flower, so that's about all I know.
I think our druid, who's now kind of, like, frozen, tried to talk to them once, and I don't know, I don't think it went
didn't
very
go great.
Good.
Neither did Burbage eating them. Yeah. Also, Seamus, book on Doom Lilies, please.
Yeah, sure, no problem. Hold on a second. Yeah, here it is. Home. And he kind of spits up the
book. Thank you. Here's a book on Doom Lilies you can read. Your asshole wrote it?
Oh, fantastic.
No. So, like, the last time we saw Doom Lilies, like, in person, besides at Isric's place, it was when the cave we were in, we stepped out and there's just a fucking field of Doom Lilies. I think that's maybe when Vimeris also tried to talk to them. I'm not sure.
No, he tried talking to the Doom Lily at the Wilfred's Faravan.
But that nothing was, super bad was, happened, like, right after that.
It was
not
after
right.
The Emerald Falls.
Right. I remember this. You know why? Because it was right around that time we saw the Doom Lilies outside the cave. It was right after the Emerald Falls. I seem to recall going on some kind of rant, inviting and encouraging us to have a family orgy.
Yeah, I have in my notes, Burbage is like super horny or something, question mark.
And it's so interesting that that memory would come up so organically right now, seeing as how this is going to end up being podcast episode season 2, episode 69.
Great, but we're still not having an orgy.
And you're still doing that thing where you're suddenly talking about just really random shit, Burbage. Also, I'm pretty sure that shortly after that, we came out of the cave. One, if the entire thing about Burbage propositioning us into orgies wasn't the bad thing from the Doom Lilies, which, to be fair, could have been.
That's hilarious.
I'm pretty sure shortly after that, we did get to Cliff Mill, and Cliff Mill version 1 was not great.
Right, and I guess that is then when Vimeris turned into ice.
Vimeris did say it smelled kind of dank and moldy a little bit, almost like a cave. Or I don't know if he actually said that out loud. I told him that.
Not in my notes.
Never mind, whatever. Anyway, as you've now completely left the cloud, you hear kind of a distant horn blast. The cloud is entirely like that almost like fog on the water look again. And you are out in the elements. It is intensely cold, though only a few clouds in the sky. Why doesn't someone give me a d20 for your day's journey? Just a random d20 roll.
As a note, is this a thing where guidance would matter at all? It's not a skill check?
Nope.
Okay, just a result. I just want to make sure.
Yep, good call, yeah.
I rolled an 18.
Okay. As you continue up into the mountains, the clouds part. It is a very clear day, and in fact feels a little warmer than it has been lately. It is not unbearably cold at the moment. It is actually a little pleasant. Cold, but comparatively it's a little nicer. The sun is out. It's a very clear day. It's because Stormbringer and Dawn Protector have kind of an innate knowledge of where this place is. You travel very quickly throughout the day, and you have no setbacks whatsoever. So, probably it's getting toward evening. Unless you had conversations along the way or you wanted to talk about anything, feel free at this point to do that, but otherwise we'll hit a camp.
I feel like most of the conversations between Burbage and Charity for the day would just be Charity, like, briefly describing the spells that he knows how to cast. Like, all right, so this one heals us. This one hurts other people. There's going to be a lot in that second category. Just a lot of things.
Yeah, a lot of hurting. I've seen you hurt people with all these cool spells. Like, you know, I've seen you do fireball, I think. Right, that's one, right? That's a big fireball. And what's the one where you sort of have a... Do you have sort of like a sword that kind of like floats out and does your bidding?
Oh, spiritual weapon? Yeah, it's a glaive for me. It's in fact actually the glaive that Stormbringer wields that looks like it's had a shillelagh cast on it as well.
The Oni's glaive?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Alright, okay. Cool. And then the healing, that sounds kind of boring if you ask me.
Yeah, I got something neat that you can... that you could have a whole bunch of sparkling fire around somebody and make them easier to hit and see.
Ooh, is that... You cast that on the stone giants back when we were rescuing Dawn Protector.
I did. I may not do a lot of damage, but I help a lot with seeing things to hit.
Yeah, what's that one called?
It's called Fairy Fire.
Oh, I like that one. That one's good. Yeah, you can cast that into this ring tonight. As when we go to sleep.
Sure.
So, decisions on that? Did you make it, or?
Yeah, so I think it's going to be, because Fairy Fire is level 1, right? And the ring stores 5 levels worth of spells. And then, so we talked a little bit during the break. I think Spiritual Weapon at level 4 would be really cool. So that and Fairy Fire will be in the Dwarven Ring of Spell Storing.
Excellent. All right, so go ahead and mark those spell slots off. And would you like to set watch or it's still fairly cold enough?
No, I think we're just going to fall asleep in the middle of the wilderness, just entirely everyone asleep simultaneously. Because we've never played D&D with you before, Andy.
I will say that the weather is bad enough, it's still cold enough that intense and with a fire is your best bet of getting a good night's sleep.
And I think that we can set a full camp, unlike trying to sort of stealth camp it,
sure.
But I think we'd still probably keep watches. I'm trying to think, we have Dawn Protector with us as well, so there's 6 of us.
Yeah.
Which still isn't enough to double all the watches.
Do you do 3 watches or 4?
2 hour, 4 watches at 2 hours each, I think, is everyone gets a long rest.
Yeah. I don't know. Charity would volunteer to take the first watch maybe alongside someone.
Any takers?
Yeah, I'll watch it with you.
All right. So, Clem and Charity, go ahead and give me perception checks as you are sitting around the campfire and the rest of your friends are intense.
My perception's +4. What's yours?
Yours is better than mine. Okay. So have me help you and have guidance.
Yeah, go for it. With advantage, then.
Also, because I forgot to do it the first time I did it. Guidance, a cantrip that makes you and your friends better at things. Use it early. Use it often.
So 18 with the guidance.
18?
All right. Actually, you know, we're going to fucking sleep, so I'll just use a flash of genius and make it a 23 for shits and giggles.
Good old shiggles.
Let's just see what I see.
New world.
We're not going to sleep, are we? I'm going to just spend all
rolling
this.
Something real quick. Okay. So as you're kind of just briefly talking a little bit around the campfire, keeping an eye out every once in a while, kind of going up on the little hill next to where you've made camp to kind of look around. A couple times during your watch, you hear rocks sliding down off of a mountain. You're in a very rocky area, and so this isn't an incredibly random occurrence. But it did happen kind of twice within a couple hours, so it made you feel a little weird about it.
There's some sliding rocks. I'm not sure what it is, but I just keep hearing them.
I'll also say that when Andy straight up started that sentence, I thought he meant like there were giant birds sliding down the same mountain. That is what I was right, like,
yeah. Oh, no!
This is above the caster's pay grade. So it's just sort of from a ridge up near us, or
right?
And I don't see him, or I just hear him.
Not sliding down like into anyone here. You've made camp at a good spot.
Does it remind me of when the stone or the giant that we saw was rolling rocks down?
Not necessarily. These are much smaller than the sort of boulders that they were throwing and casting.
Y'all, I think this is obviously just Andy's take on the movie Sliding Doors. So now Charity gets
to
role play a whole alternate reality where he never got caught up in the family's business.
And Clem is played by Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yes, exactly.
If I never got caught up in the family's business, how is Clem in the scene?
Well, that's what's interesting about the movie. Yeah.
You're the one sliding all the rocks down the mountain to attack us.
Whoa!
Okay, how far away is this ridge?
It's 150, 200 feet that you keep hearing some rocks kind of fall off of.
Hey, maybe we just encourage people to keep an eye on that, generally.
Yeah, hey. That seems smart.
Who's next?
I can go next.
Okay.
Burbage will keep watch with Akari.
All right.
And then we'll relate to them that over that way, and Clem probably knows even more precisely, but just generally watch that. Scream if something tries to murder us.
Perception checks then, friends. Hikari probably helping Burbage would be the most efficient. So.
Yeah.
Burbage, do it with advantage.
How did it... It just insisted on being a damn 21.
You just want to do the...
30.
I mean...
We'll do 21 and 21, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like... We'll do 21. But it is 21's good. So, yeah, you... At one point, Burbage, you almost feel like you hear some kind of voices on the wind.
Oh, good.
But they're gone. Nothing else. That's it.
What direction is the wind blowing from?
It's from it changes during your watch from just straight from the west to kind of northwest-ish.
And which direction was the... Did they warn about the rocks?
That ridge was just to the north, a little northwest.
Yeah. So, Akari. Message cantrip. Yeah. Akari. I think there's somebody out there.
Message cantrip Burbage. Why? Sincerely, Hikari.
Message cantrip. Dearest Akari, I received your last message cantrip with bated breath. The journey to the Temple of Formidian has been long and hard. They have me keeping
That's
watch.
That's where it cuts off. That only goes so far.
There's a limit to it?
Yeah. It's at least it's 6 seconds of
I see. All right, then I'll send another message to Kentrip because I heard some voices on the wind coming in the direction where they heard the sliding rocks.
Do you think that we should go check it out?
Or I mean, do you think what is the point of keeping watch if not to handle situations like this while everybody else gets to sleep?
True. I feel like we should just maybe go look. Maybe we could sneakily look.
Yeah, let's sneak along. And while we sneak along, we can also just have a conversation. Like, what was it like being a bear?
I don't know. It was like I could think like myself, but I was a bear and I couldn't talk. But for a minute, it felt like, I don't know, like it felt really good. Like I felt really wild and I just kind of wanted to claw things, but I don't know.
Did you feel wilder than you normally do?
Yeah, like, I kind of wanted to, like, claw all your faces off. I don't know, it was really weird, but it felt great.
That's gnarly. Okay. Do you think, did anything like that ever happen to you in any of your past lives?
I don't know. What is the percentage of me becoming, since I bite?
Biting.
Although I had to be bitten.
You've never been a were individual before.
I have never been a were individual before.
Is that what the understanding of the situation is? That you're a were bear?
Well, it was a full moon last night, I noticed. And this has never happened to me before. But I don't know, I've been feeling a little weird since I bit Arbin. Like, I felt a little, like, in my stomach. I don't know. I feel like that little fucker gave me werebear.
Arbin.
You should go get tested.
He certainly should have disclosed that. I think that would be the ethical thing to do.
I know. Because, I mean, anyone could bite you at any time.
Oh, all right. Let's get real sneaky now. And
why don't you both give me stealth checks?
Okie doke.
That's a crit hit from Burbage.
Did you have advantage?
Yeah, I have advantage with Supreme Sneak.
Cool.
And a 10 from Akari.
I knew it. I probably fell over like a bunch of cans that were laying nearby.
You also slip a little bit and kind of tumble some rocks down as you're making your way kind of in this weird jaggedy path toward the edge of this cliff. You kind of clear a few trees and you see kind of a valley dip out in front of you, lit by the moon. It's kind of beautiful, but you don't see any people around right now. And you're being quite stealthy, so give me a perception check again from both of you. Or double up with Burbage. 25. Burbage, yeah, whatever it was, you just don't hear anything around you at the moment. You feel pretty confident, just kind of weird mountain noises.
But then the camp gets ambushed because they walked away.
Back to everyone sleeping helplessly around the campfire.
No!
Nah, you're good. You don't go too far from camp. You make it back and nothing happening.
Well, sorry, I keep interrupting everybody with jokes tonight.
No, it's
you're good. You're good.
Well, Kari, I got to say, thank you for not clawing our faces off. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm really glad I didn't do it, but I mean, if it was like an enemy or just like someone being a dick or something, think of the possibilities.
Yeah. What do you think you're going to turn into a bear again the next time there's a full moon?
I don't know. I guess I don't know. Maybe it was a one time, like maybe it was something I ate, but I don't know. I still think it was Arbin for some reason. I just know. I think I will. Who knows? Who knows these things?
Fascinating. All right, shall we wake up Stormbringer?
Yeah.
Do you want to tackle her with me? It'd only be fair because she and I tried to tackle you.
True. Yeah, I say, let's go.
Hold on. Ah! I'm having sort of like a thought of like something like maybe we shouldn't tackle our sleeping friend? Like, oh, it hurts. It's like some sort of, what is this? It's some sort of inhibition. Is that what this is?
I don't know, but you're talking nonsense.
No, there's some sort of, like, reluctance to do an action that I initially wanted to do. What is this?
Did you eat something weird?
Maybe I did. Maybe, well, I did. Arbin did fuck me, so who knows what that did to me. All right. Well, let's just wake her up calmly, right?
That doesn't make sense to me, but all right.
I was going to say, Akari's not the partner that is going to talk you down from this revenge. But anyway, you wake up Stormbringer in a normal fashion. Stormbringer, go ahead and give me a perception check. They relay everything that they saw and heard.
15.
All right. It's pretty quiet out. At first, you think you hear something moving, and you kind of climb up the hill just a little bit, and you see sort of two deer in the night trying to make their way down into the valley.
Cool. So I'll wake up Dawn Protector for the last watch then.
All right. Dawn Protector awakes. And I shall roll perception. Cool. Okay. In the morning, Dawn Protector wakes all of you up. Doesn't seem to be any disturbances. They didn't hear anything in the night. And you are ready to travel another day. You could probably get to the Twilight Temples by nightfall, you think? And that's up to you. But on the next day's travel, someone give me a d20 roll.
I'll do... Oh, 14.
14. All right. A 14. Okay. You, as you're making your way now down off some of the cliffs into this rather large valley below you, you hear... It almost felt like you heard a horn blast at some point, somewhere far away. Didn't sound like the Goliath direct from the Gunagaim or the same kind of horn. Something kind of low, maybe, and it's so far away, it's hard to tell. But it was to the north, a ways.
That would be the way we're going.
You're heading south. Yeah, you're heading south, sort of west, southwest.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, it gets really, really cloudy then. And it almost looks like it's going to rain, but doesn't quite. And in fact, it feels a little warmer today even than yesterday. Your travel is pretty calm. And how far would you like to go with today's travel? Do you want to try to reach the temples by nightfall, or do you want to camp before you get there?
I feel like maybe, like, showing up at temples that we know have to do with undead things at nightfall is just, like, maybe not, like, the smartest move we could ever make. So maybe we should just, you know, take a breather and... I don't know. What are you all thinking?
It might make sense if we could stop, you know, maybe, like, an hour away... roughly, or something in that range, so that we think it would be pretty easy to get to it in the morning, but we wouldn't have to exert ourselves too much to get there, but also, yeah, not getting to the land of undeath just in time to take a nap.
Dawn Protector says there's like kind of an old oak tree that is sort of bent and gnarled into the shape of a throne that's probably like 5 miles or so from our destination. I've never gone beyond that, but that is the place that we leave the items which we want hidden. And that's not far away. That's maybe 5 miles or so from the place.
Excuse? There's an oak tree shaped like a throne, and that's where you leave the items.
Yes.
For the undead god thing to hide.
I don't exactly know undead. That doesn't... Whatever, that doesn't really... I don't know what he is. But the items are taken and hidden. And...
You're not suggesting we camp by that, right?
That's up to you. I was just letting you know that there's sort of a landmark.
I thought we were getting a suggestion to go camp by the drop box for the God of Secrets.
No, let's not be presents for the God... Yeah, for camp.
So yeah, we can camp maybe about a mile away from that, and then we'll be able to make our way to the land of secrets and zombies, probably.
A couple hours further down into a valley, there's like a thick forest now at this point, kind of the last little bit here. But yeah, you then make your way to about, 6 miles out or so, and find a spot to camp for the night. Same rotations as the night before?
Sure. Hey.
Okay.
So that's a 27 and a flash of geniusing.
I mean, why not? Let's make it a 32.
It's a fresh
32.
Day, at least, so yeah.
Yeah. Right. Let's make it a 32, Andy.
A 32. Yeah, you hear crickets and bugs kind of all around you. You're just paying attention to the crickets to see if any of them stop their cricketing for a moment. And they don't. They're just doing their thing. You don't seem like anything is around you.
The crickets are, like, real loud here.
Though about an hour and a half into your watch, you hear Burbage. And he says, "I don't think I want to, Mummy."
Is it coming from his tent?
It is, yeah. And you hear Stormbringer. No. And Dawn Protector, who's kind of sleeping by her, kind of wakes up and starts to... She actually is breathing hard herself, and she kind of goes over to Stormbringer and just kind of, like, pats her on the shoulder a bit. And then all of a sudden, there's a light coming from Akari's tent. It's bright and brilliant. And then you hear her... It seems like your friends are having incredibly bad dreams.
Or incredibly good dreams.
Depends on the moment, I suppose.
Does this usually happen with your family?
No, not especially. There was that one time that actually involved undead where we're pretty sure that Stormbringer was turning into a vampire, and she actually was, but we had a long, heartfelt conversation about it, but it wasn't actually Stormbringer. It was a demon that was looking to kill me, probably at the behest of my former boss, but also wasn't really trying to kill me. Kept raving about some guy named Lucian. I have no idea who that is. That was all weird, but that wasn't really a dreamscape. I mean, Burbage has weird-ass dreams all the time, but it Burbage.
Does he yell for his mummy often? Or?
Oh, God, no.
No. Mother, come on. One more Charity the Last Warmender story, please.
I would have assumed that if his mother was taking place in nightmares, it was just going to more be a straight memory of their interactions.
Should we wake him up or look around to see if we can see what's going on?
Do I sense the presence of any magics or anything?
Give me an arcana check.
Yeah, and can I pull my lantern out?
Sure.
Can Clem help me with the arcana check? Or actually, you might be better at arcana than I am.
Well, that would be fine too.
I don't have proficiency in it. I'm only at a 5.
Okay, I'm at a 6. So, and I'm casting guidance on myself. Well, it's a nat 27.
7 total. All right. Charity, it doesn't feel like magic, but you feel it's just evil in the air. It's darkness. It's night that has never been so black around you. And you feel your own heartbeat speed up a bit and your breath kind of catch just a second. It's like this place, it's where you're going. Just everything around you seems a bit charged by it, but it's not a spell. It's not magic. It's like, it's deeper, more fundamental.
As Charity feels his, like, breath catching and, like, feels that, he's gonna say, and almost just stomp his foot, and if you'd allow it again for cinematic effect, the campfire and, like, if
Clem's Lantern of Revealing is on, those flames will turn silver. There may be darkness here, but I am the light and the flame. You will not have my family.
Okay.
There's no answer. Anything with the lantern?
You're looking around with the lantern. You don't see anything. Though it does seem like the crickets are quieter now. And that unnerves you.
The crickets said something's fucky.
The crickets are not what they seem?
But that's it. That's all you sense.
Now I'm nervous to go to sleep. I don't want to have nightmares. I know what visits me in my nightmares.
Oh, goody. This will be fun. And yeah, I think it was Burbage and Hikari.
Yeah. All right, so you wake up Burbage and Hikari. Burbage is just covered in sweat. Hikari's got a weird little smile on her face, but there's also darkness in the eyes.
I'll tell them everything we noticed about everybody seeming to have nightmares, and then the evil sense in the air, and the quiet crickets, and that something's up.
So as watches keep progressing, everyone who tries to sleep is going to have some pretty intense nightmares tonight. Just real quick, if we could go around, what are your nightmares? Let's start with Stormbringer. What did you dream about?
Don't start with me.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say, you weren't looking at the cams. Like, and she's like,
ah. No problem. Let's start with Burbage. What did you dream about?
The lesser nightmares would be like related to his mother and feeling kind of unfairly treated by his mother and kind of left out of like family stuff and secrets as a child. And then like the more intense nightmares would definitely involve the night that he watched Eldon burst into flames in front of him after he stole the ring. It would peak with like probably that blurring into like seeing Theodric and first Avery maybe like bursting into flames and being unable to help, and then the same thing happening to Theodric.
Okay. Hikari.
Mine would probably just basically be having to do with like me just living and living and living and everyone around me turning old and like crumbling into dust. And like new people coming up and that happening, and I just stay the same.
Okay. Charity, what about you?
I think sort of going off of the model that Adam used, the early ones will almost, they're going to center on a somewhat shadowy figure and just this sense of fear. And I think that over the course of them, it solidifies into being Black Palm, of that Charity realizes that he is just remembering the horrible things that his father did and made him do. And then it's going to progress into almost in the same thing that you did of like the Darkest Goats timeline of the like, imagining Behelit being like, you need to kill Burbage, and Charity going, okay. And just a lot of this of Nen serving as essentially this dread left hand of Behelit. And then I think at the very end of it and feeling like this is just, it's almost subsiding, there's just going to be a progression of like Vimeris looking at him like, you let me die because you're a monster and that's all you'll be. And Adine, you are a monster, and that's all you'll ever be. And it's just everyone telling him, this is what you are. You cannot be something else. And I would also say that Charity probably wakes up from them sobbing, not panting.
Sure, yeah.
Oh, man, now I wish I'd gotten more psychological with mine.
You ruined yours, so you're fine. Charity, set the bar, Clem. What are you gonna do?
Well, it's not a competition. So mine, I've got no. I thought of two things. One, I think, would be from my time in working with C-Ren and just, but you know, not like what actually happened, but like just in dealing with necromancy and all of the mistakes that happened therein and the like horrible, like fucked up bodies and people and other things that are brought back and shouldn't have been and other stuff, and just like constant writhing moans and screaming of beings that should no longer exist. And also just thinking about a timeline in which I didn't run away into the mountains, and that the continuing like push for the war effort and things like that, and that I the things that I made and crafted and created were used as like horrible weapons to decimate cities and destroy like swaths of people in a single thing, and just kind of looking over that and watching like children burning to death as, you know, mothers cried on and stuff, and that kind of fun stuff.
Oof.
Yeah. And Stormbringer, what about you?
I mean, you know, just like nightmares about the family dying, and especially Burbage dying because he's so squishy and easy to die. And about like coming back to Gunaheim. I should know the name. I think it's Gunaheim.
Gunaheim, yep.
Gunaheim.
And like finding everybody dead instead of in Cliffmel, and just not being able to protect anybody, even though she tries.
Right on. Yeah. So honestly, each of you kind of wakes up. You're barely talking through breakfast. You're all sort of just deep in your heads about the nightmares. Dawn Protector as well. And you slowly kind of all just know breakfast is done. It's time to get everything around again. You pack up the tents, you pack up your bags, and you set off toward the Twilight Temples.
I do yes, have question. One, yeah. Not even a mechanical question, because you would have specified it, but
yeah.
Charity was previously afflicted by a Rakshasa's curse, which yes. gives you nightmares. Did this... I know it didn't feel quite like that, because we were able to rest. Just,
yeah.
It was fitfully, and like that literally prevented him from sleeping. But does this feel, since Charity has some sort of experience with cursed nightmares, induced nightmares from evil sources, etc.
Yeah. This feels a little similar. It you can almost feel the source, though, is the area you're in, not a scratch yeah. or a disease. This feels like the planet you're on right now itself. It just feels like everything around you is causing this.
Would this seem to tie in also with like the Arcana check I made of where did yeah. this, it's this area itself is somehow blighted.
Yeah. Yeah. And kind of feeling like you've connected with that before. Mechanically speaking, if you have another night like that, you're starting to take exhaustion levels. That was the first night, and it's going to be only worse going forward.
And I think that as we sort of are breaking camp then and heading out, Charity will again, like, sort of slowly breathe, slow down the breaths, deeper breaths, and given that we don't have as much of a campfire, etc., just the wings of silver flame will erupt out. I am the light and the flame. Everyone, those dreams are being caused by this place. There is something wrong and twisted here. And from my experience with magically induced dreams, they are only going to get worse. Sleep is going to potentially begin harming us if we do not cleanse this in some way. I'm pretty sure we can all guess what's causing this, but worth noting to everyone, time may be a factor in this.
Yeah. So as you continue on the path, kind of Charity's words bouncing around in your head, it's not long before you come across this old oaken tree with a throne. I mean, you can kind of see it's a throne. It's got almost armrests looking on it, for something bigger than just a normal Goliath, but maybe not quite giant sized. It's weird.
So it's still in like medium creature realms,
right? Yeah.
Medium to large.
Medium to large. Dawn Protector stops you for just a moment, then Stormbringer, and kind of squeezes your hand for a second and says, "I've never stepped past this place. Can you feel it?" And if you just take a moment, you can sense just your nerves. Everything about you is saying, "Don't go any closer to this place." And she squeezes it again and says, "I feel better with you here, though. Don't leave the path. Go straight there, okay?"
Yeah, why?
I don't know, I can feel it. It's like it wants me to turn around and just run in random directions. It wants me to get lost in this place. Let's not get lost. And then with that, she'll step forward and kind of beckon you along with her. You step past this throne, and within just now a couple miles of your destination, you notice the vegetation has become sparse. There's rotten logs toppled from once mighty trees. Streams dart between jagged rocks and run muddy amidst the snow. And there's this dirty detritus hanging on to the snow here that's barely starting to melt. You hear a crow caw, startling you, and you immediately notice that your just nerves have been set on edge. Your breath has quickened. Your heartbeat has been pounding almost subtly, and you didn't notice each of you doing this. And as you continue, through the pines, just the barren trees, a thin mist begins to lightly obscure ahead of you. You can still see the path. It's pointed in the exact direction you need to go. You know this, Stormbringer. But you just want to get off of it and leave and run. And I need each of you to make a wisdom saving throw against fear.
I'm brave. I have advantage.
You do.
I'm fucking using my inspiration.
Is this magic?
We'll say it's a magical effect, yeah.
So I get advantage because of gnome cunning.
We'll say that, yep.
Oof.
Cool, with my inspiration, I got a 19.
Okay.
16?
19.
I'm going to spend a thing for myself to give myself a 19, because I doubt a 14's enough.
A 19. Okay. Burbage?
I rolled an 11.
Okay.
I want to use my inspiration? No! I do not.
And Takari had an 18. So, Charity and Burbage.
Did Dawn Protector roll one?
Yep. Dawn Protector got a 19. Charity, instinctually, your horn forms out of feathers. There's something in the mist. It's watching you. You almost feel it darting between trees, just a dark shape, barely able to make it out. You're ready for it, though. You, for a second, you steel yourself. You look around. It's really terrifying, but you can handle it. Burbage. You look behind you because you just heard a voice say, "I wouldn't miss this. Your end." And Eldon is just strolling right behind you. In the fog a little bit, in the dimmest, but you can tell it's him. Another round, please, everyone. Wisdom saving throws.
Another one?
Yeah.
Just a second. I want to check one thing.
Yes.
I feel like I'm being scared, correct?
Yes.
And I feel
yes.
like there is a threat.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm trying to make sure that I'm not, you know, inappropriately cheesing something.
You would be guidancing, I would say, at least.
Guidance doesn't help with saving throws.
Oh, right.
But so I saw a shadowy presence darting in the mist. I was having a hard time seeing it. I'm thinking battle is coming, etc. And I'm feeling fear.
Yes.
Like inside, internally, I am feeling a state of fear.
Yes.
I'm gonna turn into an angel.
Okay.
I am immune to frightened.
Okay.
And that's where I was like, I'm not trying to cheese this. It's the Charity feels afraid and feels like there is a combat threat. I think he would then respond with, I need to calm myself down. I feel real self-assured when I'm an angel.
All right. Yes. Very good. All right. So Hikari got a 22, Stormbringer an 8, Burbage a 14, Clem a 9. Okay. Clem, you hear in the mist, it's like moaning. It's... You've heard that sound before. It's things that are taking the breath again for the first time that shouldn't. And Stormbringer, you can't help it. Immediately, Bully pops right next to you. He's right by your side. And he starts to look really concerned. His eyes just are looking around. He doesn't say anything. And for a moment, you try to unsummon him back into his figurine form, and you can't. Something in you just won't let you. You feel the slightest bit more comforted with him there, and you can't bring him back. Burbage. Behind you now is Theodric as well. He looks concerned. He's behind Eldon, and he doesn't know what to do. And he looks at you, and he says, where's Arion? And then he darts straight into the mist. And you don't think it's real, Burbage. You don't think it's real, but you're not sure how much of that more you can take.
Yeah.
Another wisdom three saving throw.
Before we do this, just as a quick note. As I'm looking around, one, am I seeing anything? As an angel.
Right. You're looking around. You're trying to see that figure that darted back and forth. You can't. You're a little worried that it's still out there, but you're not afraid of it, nor do you see any sign of it now.
I'm also trying very hard not to look at the rolls, because what I was actually going for was other people's rolls are relevant to this. Who is... Do the party members look like they are getting shaken? And if so,
100% Burbage looks the worst here at the moment.
Does anyone else look bad? Like they feel like they've been shaken a bit.
Everyone looks a little shaken, except Akari is actually doing pretty good.
Okay. Each of them will feel almost this sense of, since I'm assuming I don't need to make the action of a saving throw against fear right now. If you'll allow it, I would like to use my action as battlefield inspiration. Each of them feels almost this sense of angelic charity just sort of standing behind them and like having a hand. So the three of them will be Burbage, Clem, and Stormbringer. Each can add a D6 to their saving throw.
Okay.
Sorry, that's why I'm like, I really don't want to look at what people's saves are.
No, you're good. Yeah, you're good. All right, so then everyone
not pushing this off. Sorry.
Numbers.
25.
Okay.
20 for me.
21 for Burbage.
So Akari rolled a 10.
That's what I figured. Everyone else rolled really well.
Burbage rolled really well. What was yours, Clem?
25.
And Stormbringer, 20. Looks like. All right. So all of you are fighting it. You're trying really hard. You Stormbringer, you don't think this is real. You can't shake the feelings, the thoughts that are coming up in your head. Burbage, you want to just run after Theodric, but you know it's not real, and so you focus really hard on Stormbringer in front of you. Dawn Protector stops entirely in her footsteps, and as you kind of approach her, she has tears running down her face. She's breathing heavily. And Akari, you're all alone. Everyone was with you just a second ago. And they're gone. And now you think they've been gone for a really long time. Do you all continue on?
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. Talk to Stormbringer. Jesus, I'm Stormbringer. Talk to Dawn Protector while we continue on. Be like, hey, it's okay. I think we're gonna get through this.
I can't go.
It's not real. Just like breathe and hold my hand. We're okay. We got this.
I'm gonna give her one more roll because of that. Okay.
Also, if she looked super fucked up, I probably would have given her.
She didn't look that bad a second ago.
Sorry, yeah. I just wanted to make sure. Yeah, I was like. Like, I was counting everyone here.
Sure.
Give me priorities.
Some just really shook her for the second there. You grab her hand, you squeeze it tight again. She almost like looks at you and sees you for the first time. Her gaze was just like 1,000 yards ahead. And now she recognizes you right next to her. She takes a deep breath, begins to walk. Akari, you too, even though you don't see anyone around you, keep going.
Do we still see Hikari?
Yes.
Okay, and we don't realize she doesn't see us, so okay. Yeah.
All of you now break through the mist, and that unnatural fear seems to just disappear. You immediately slow your breath, your heart, and now you look at the bottom of this valley. And there's a type of dark rock dome set into the base of a mountain. The dome is craggy and nearly looks like a crusted shell of jagged stone, like a wasp's nest that just sort of slides down the mountain a bit, reaches tendrils of dark rock into the now completely dead forest here. A horrid smell lingers in front of your nose. There's no wind, just stagnant air. Mosquitoes immediately start stinging you. And while that unnatural fear has fled from your senses, a much more natural fear embraces you.
I have a question really quick.
Yes, yes.
If mosquito stings me, can I use Hellish Rebuke?
You can. Would you like
I want to do that.
You use your day's worth of Hellish Rebuke, and one of the mosquitoes pops next to you.
Sweet.
Worth it.
Continue.
You see an opening in this sort of wasp's nest of a cave in front of you. Dawn Protector and both Stormbringer know that's exactly where you need to go. And it's the one place you don't want to go. And that's where we're going to end tonight's episode.
Oh boy!
On the doorstep.
Clem rolls 2d6.
Clem's getting some potions ready.
I'm getting my potions ready. I forgot again. So I don't want to interrupt.
All good. All right. Thank you, everyone. Ooh, it's getting spooky to be near. Really spooky stuff. I love it. Scary, scary. So we're going to continue this in a couple weeks. I think that's where we're going to end it for tonight. Thank you so much for watching. Everyone, hang in there. Take care. We love you. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Good night.
Lovely. Ooh! Scary stuff. It's funny because I had other music tracks that are like really unnerving and really scary, but a lot of your nightmares kind of focused on a little bit more drama. So I was like, ooh, I don't know if I want to go super horror movie here, actually. I think I want to kind of just leave this pensive, creepy music here. Brilliant. Thank you very much. Yeah, if we don't mind going around real quick and just letting us know how something you enjoyed from this evening.
I think the thing I was probably like especially proudest of was that progression of nightmares from sort of base fear to at the core of it is Charity's existential fear. And the fact that everything that bookended that was such rejection of that model of who he is. Everything he did was to protect the family from feeling fear. And, you know, to the, I will turn the flame silver. I will fucking challenge this realm. I will turn into an angel and protect you. And yet that's still the existential fear at the core of him is, no, I'm just a monster.
Yeah, it was awesome. Everyone did amazing on the nightmare part. Just every one of you was like really digging deep and getting like, yeah, what are, I was proud. Well done. That was really cool.
I was glad, especially just because I'm a side, you know, character that hasn't been, you know, it's not like I'm, here's my super fleshed out everything that we've all experienced together, you know? So I was glad at least that I was able to come up with nightmares that felt real and meaningful.
It's awesome.
Necromancy, the college of magic you most don't want to go wrong.
Oh my gosh.
This has been Goats and Dragons, presented by Helpful Goat Gaming. If you enjoyed what you heard and want to hear more, check out our other podcast, Helpful Goat Presents, where we play shorter campaigns, one-shots, and have conversations about D&D and games in general. For more information about us, check out our website at helpfulgoat.com. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at Helpful Goat, or chat with us and the rest of the Helpful Goat community on our Discord server using the link in this episode's description. For more of our shared gaming projects and live streams, check us out on Twitch, where we are Helpful Goat, or on YouTube at Helpful Goat Gaming. If you want to support us, you can make a donation on our Ko-fi page by following that link in the episode description, or you can rate and review the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or Podcast Addict. We are a growing community of friends who enjoy playing games, storytelling, and role-playing, and we would love for you to join us as we cultivate a positive and helpful online space together. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.